Hello and welcome back to another episode of Alec Mappa Hot Mess with Matthew Dempsey, psychotherapist. I'm Alec Mappa. I'm an actor and comedian. I live in Hollywood. I just had Botox, so I look younger than springtime.
And you look beautiful. I'm Matthew Dempsey. I'm a psychotherapist and multicultural counselor. And we're ready to talk about mental health things.
Are you kind of fatigued with everything that's going on right now?
I think yes, I've been fatigued this entire time.
Yeah, and the days are getting, I'm getting a little blue.
I mean, I've definitely felt my mood. I feel like a little bit more chill, a little bit more down at times too.
Yeah.
But interestingly, my mood has been, you know, I think like normally, you know, we have these kinds of like waves in life, right? Like where things are a little bit up, things are a little down, but mine, I feel like has been a little bit more in flux, much more than usual. I've been paying attention to that. Yes.
Well, it's also your job is to listen to people who are in distress or people who need to unload. And I can't imagine the stress. And I don't know how do you decompress from that?
Well, you know what's interesting? I've actually never really had too much of a problem with that before.
Really?
You know, I've been able to see, you know, 25 clients a week, and it's really not been an issue for me. I don't really hold on to a lot of stuff. Like I'm very present in the moment with clients. 5 to 6 people a day. Yeah. And I don't. Yeah. So it's like, if you can imagine, it's like 6 hours back to back of just being emotional support for people. That normally is totally fine for me. This year, especially kind of during this whole time of COVID, I've been noticing it's been a lot more weight to carry. And so I've been feeling that.
Some people are like, I want to die. I need that.
Well, because like I said, everybody's mood is more in flux than usual. And so it's like, I'm having to manage my own. And then I'm having to manage, you know, 24 or 25 people a week with their moods far more in flux too. So it's been a lot. I've been doing a whole lot of nothing on the weekends just to really try to recharge.
That's good.
What have you been doing?
I like to think that I'm a very empathetic person. And like after I talk with a friend who's going through, I'm good at being there for people.
Yeah.
But afterwards, I have to take a Silkwood shower of some kind in order to kind of decompress from that.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's kind of like, so if I had your job seeing 5-6 people a day, I would have to watch hardcore porn 10 hours straight.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm good. I'm a light person. I like a lot of light. And I just
sunlight. You mean actual sunlight?
Sunlight. Yeah. I had an apartment in New York City my freshman year in college that I could look at the sky through the breezeway, through the alley. I had to stick my head out. And so I had a whole year, maybe 10 months in an apartment that had absolutely no light. And it was the most depressed I've ever been.
Did you ever do one of those light goggles?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. It's light therapy.
Yeah, it's like, it's those goggles that it's supposed to, you know, kind of, it's supposed to mimic like natural sunlight. And so that's supposed to actually help produce, you know, kind of more chemicals in your brain to make you.
I could have used that on the East Coast because I would always go through the winter, like have a lot of plans, like, I'm gonna go to yoga. I'm gonna read a lot of books. And then I would just be so like, ugh.
Totally. So do you, when things start to get a little bit like heavy for you, or you're just noticing that your mood is more in flux, are you the kind of person that just thinks like, whatever, this is just happening, I have to ride the wave, or do you search for deeper meaning?
That's a very good question. I'm always searching for the deeper meaning. Sometimes my therapist tells me there's no deeper meaning. You're just tired. I will overthink things.
Wait, what kind of therapist says there's no deeper meaning? Like, it's what we do.
He's been listening to me yammer on and on for a good 12 years.
He's so like, there's nothing more. Just shut up.
Yeah. Like he'll literally like, I was talking about like, I'm doing this independent film. And I was like, I was saying, you know, it's really low budget. I don't know if a whole lot of people are going to see it. And I just kind of went on and on things that I was concerned about. He's like, stop.
Yeah.
Have fun. You get to act. This is a really good part and a really good script. Just have a blast.
To not overthink it. Yeah, there's definitely a balance to have. I remember, you know, I was in New York for about a decade before I came here, and a very close friend of mine who was kind of like a gay mom to me, you know, like this older Jewish guy, his name's Keith. And he used to tell me, because I would talk about like boys I was dating and all this stuff that I was going through and, you know, kind of wondering like what it was all about. And he was just like, oh my God. He's like, I'm going to tell you what my father used to tell me. This too shall pass. He's like, you just need to let this, you know, sometimes things happen. You just let it, you know, kind of play itself out, ride the wave. You don't need to overthink it. He's like, you and the kids, you and these kids, your generation, you guys overthink everything. Just let it go. And I definitely still think about things and search mm-hmm. for deeper meaning, but I have also learned how to ride more of the wave, that sometimes right. you can only do but so much, search for so much meaning. And then beyond that, you have to surrender the need to try and, you know, control everything or predict everything and just ride the wave.
Yeah, that's a perspective that comes with age, don't you think? I mean, when you're in your 20s and you're young, you really don't have any idea of decades ahead or time ahead. You're kind of like, I remember like when I was in my 20s, like this was the only time that was ever going to exist.
Right.
And so I would think universally, like if I didn't have a boyfriend, it's like, I'm never going to have a boyfriend.
Right.
Yeah.
I think also I'll speak for myself is that as I've gotten older, I've realized how much adults don't necessarily have it figured out, right? That we all still go through shit. It's just that we've learned how to manage it or accept it, not have to necessarily, you know, spin our wheels to make it go away immediately.
That's a very empowering thing. Nobody knows anything.
What do you think? Okay, so if we're talking about trying to at least kind of know more or find deeper meaning,
yes.
What's been some of the deeper meaning that you've considered for like this whole year?
The deeper meaning is I'm a performer and I need a lot. And this is going to segue into our guest, our wonderful guest, Charles Phoenix, because he's a live performer like myself. Yes. And we've had our legs cut off from under us. I mean, I've had to do a lot of Zoom and cabarets and everything. And having to be without an audience and having to be without the affirmation of a job or anything has really made me kind of like, what's my intrinsic value as a human being?
Yeah.
What is my value as a person? With my income less, with my status in Los Angeles a little less, you know, it's like I'm really zeroing in on my value. What do I bring to the table? And I bring a lot as a husband, as a father, as a lover, as a sex symbol, you know, as a swimsuit model. I've had to find my own currency as just another human being on the planet.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I agree because it really is easy for us. I think especially for us in you know, American culture, where there's so much emphasis placed on how much you can hustle and how hard you can work and, you know, how much you can, you know, kind of pump out in terms of productivity, all of that stuff. I mean, it's so, you know, kind of, you know, woven into the fabric of our culture and our society. And so to have this moment happen where it's the universe is like, sit the fuck down and you can't mm-hmm. do all the things that you wanted to do before. And now how are you going to feel? You know, if you don't have these things to lean on, these things that, by the way, are external to us, they're things that we do, right? They're not who we are. And mm-hmm. so when we're forced to have to just confront who we are in the absence of all that other shit that we would, you know, kind of grasp onto to try to feel like we're enough, then it's kind of like, oh God, like, how do I actually feel about myself? And so I'll be honest with you, there's been parts of that for me too, where I've had to be like, who am I if I'm not, you know, pumping out more content, you know, which I could do, by the way, but like, if I'm not producing as much, I just don't have the energy for it after seeing a week's worth of clients. I don't have the energy to keep pumping out more content. So I don't. And then there's moments where it's like, oh God, if I'm not, you know, having, you know, social media validate me and tell me that like my thoughts are, you know, smart or whatever, it's just, then what? And so it's like, I've noticed my mood influx in part, I believe, because of that. And I think, or at least the way that I positively frame that, is that this is an opportunity for me to grow, that these are growing pains where I'm grieving the loss of the need for that shit in the way that I used to grasp onto it mm-hmm. so that I can feel more secure and steady within myself.
I know. And then when you get to a place where you don't need it, it's an extremely liberating thing to arrive at understanding that I'm not what I have. Right. I'm not what I do.
Yes.
I'm a pretty fabulous person. I mean, I think what all of this has forced us to do is think about how we feel about ourselves.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know what, Matthew? We're saving the world. I mean, honestly.
We're doing the Lord's work. We're doing the Lord's work.
Every week on this program, we save the world one hot mess at a time. Right?
We do. With the two of us and all of our guests.
This is Jess Betancourt, the host of DNA ID, the only true crime podcast that exclusively covers cases solved using forensic genealogy. DNA ID goes behind the headlines to answer your questions about this remarkable new crime-solving tool, how it works, how cases are selected, why the cases were unsolved for so long, and how the justice system is addressing it. I include input from law enforcement to give you the inside scoop that we all crave with a straightforward, no-nonsense delivery. You can find DNA ID on any podcast platform. Episodes come out weekly on Mondays.
Maybe we should just go ahead and bring our next guest in because we are excited about our guest, especially what we're talking about today. He's an American pop culture humorist, historian, author, and chef whose work explores and celebrates classic and kitschy American life and style. He spent the last 20 years on the road performing his one-man comedy show, which celebrates all things American pop culture. He has a series on YouTube, which we love, called Joyride, celebrating space-age classic cars.
He has a new coffee table book out called Holiday Jubilee, which has a lot of cool stuff and fun party recipes, including his most famous recipe, which got a huge cult following, the Chirpumple. That sounds like something from the Urban Dictionary, which it's not. I'm not going to turn this dark, which is a pie. The Chirpumple is a pie stuffed cake he said he created to save paper plates at his family holiday. What a clever cuss. He's a style and design expert, a creative force of nature, and he's here today to talk about reinventing yourself during these challenging times. Please welcome our friend Charles Phoenix.
Yay!
Thank you.
So you've been on the road for 20 years doing your show, your retro show on the space age cars, and what has this year been like for you?
Well, you know, after, you know, 20 years of kind of doing, you know, building up a business, building up a following, you know, it kind of got to the point, like, you know, I don't know, 5 years ago, where I'm like, okay, this is good. I've reached a level. I've done some things. I've been on Food Network and a few other shows on TV, and it's like kind of gotten to a level. Okay. And then I'm like, okay, but what now? It's like kind of going around the same merry-go-round, a lot of the same gigs year after year. Yeah. And then so then this happened, you know, like.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the big storm hit and I thought, okay, then this means like all that is kind of like just a memory. And now I have the luxury of reinventing.
Yeah.
So I kind of took it like that right from the start. And, you know, I mean, I'm a little surprised how undepressed I've been this whole time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have really, well, I'm not kind of a depressed person necessarily. I was born a Pollyanna, which is an optimistic person. Mm-hmm. So that has helped me. And, but I've kind of just taken this time to realize, you know, this is like, I'm going to take the bull by the horns and take this opportunity to reinvent and get in touch with my creativity. I mean, I was kind of telling a lot of the same stories over and over, you know, different venues around the country and everything. And I mean, it was fine and I loved it all and it was great and amazing people and experiences, right, and all that and traveling, love.
Yeah.
But it was kind of going around the merry-go-round again and again and again. It was beginning to get a little old. So as I said, when this all happened, boom.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, we now can
immediately, day one, you were like, yes, this is what I've been searching for. And then I reinvent, or what happened?
Well, immediately. I mean, the first thing I'm like, you know, like everybody else, like, what is this?
Like, what,
like, you know, it's like, you know, yeah, exactly. What the fuck? What is going on here? So, you know, you kind of get the vibe a little bit. The first thing I did is like, okay, if I'm going to stay home, what am I going to do? What can I do? I'm going to start painting.
Right.
I'm going to start painting. I haven't painted for a while. So I painted a couple paintings, and it's just like one creative project. I mean, creativity, right, be creative. Right. I also said to my housekeeper, which I've been, you know, lucky enough to have a housekeeper for a long time, I said, you know, you can't come over now because, you know, we're not like kind of, you know,
right,
doing that kind of stuff. So I learned how, I mean, I started like vacuuming, and I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe what a pleasure it is to see things like get sucked up in a vacuum. I'm serious. You know, and even like washing the dishes, like, oh, that spaghetti sauce comes off that plate so beautifully. You know, it's like, I just kind of went there, you know, and I've kind of embraced it, really. So, Yeah, I mean, it can be, I mean, there are days when you're like, okay, I'm gonna starve to death, I'm gonna be kicked out on the street, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's like small goals, and you know, I have been so distracted by the ability to think about reinventing. And for me, reinventing means like having to funnel everything that I do through digital content. And, you know, I'm not necessarily like super digitally inclined, even though I can do it and I do it. But it's like there was all this onslaught of new things that I had to learn. And I'm like, ah, and then I'm thinking to myself, do I want to just, is my life, everything that I do, everything that I put out there, like, is it all just going to have to funnel through the computer and through, you know, my iPhone and all that? Is that what I want? Is this our lives now? You know, is this it? Right. Is this it? And then, so it's like finding that balance then, and kind of, you know, I was a little bit of a deer in the headlights for a while. I'm, you know, I mean, I know, you know, I'm like everyone, I know how to do certain things, but learning new stuff on digital realms and platforms is not necessarily my joy in life. But it's like, if I want to succeed now, I'm going to have to learn it. So darn it anyway, shoot, if I didn't just dive in and I got this project, someone said, okay, you're gonna do this video documentary of Palm Springs. And I'm like, well, I think I can do that. Okay, I'll do it. Okay. I mean, it was money.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, it's a gig. So I thought, I just doved. I don't say dove. I doved right in. I like to make words up. Yeah. I doved right in and did it. And I learned so much. So it's like, you know, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's time is challenging.
Yeah.
But it's fine. It's fine, fine, fine. We human beings are up to this. I also look at it as a speck in time. I mean, I look at broad picture. I like take myself off of the earth and float way up there. And just
RuPaul calls that Google Earth it. If you have a Google Earth perspective of things.
Exactly. And I just think this is a speck in time. This will pass. You know, I mean, is it challenging? Yes. Are a lot of people hurting? Yes. But, you know, we're not the first culture or society or whatever we are to live through tough times. I mean, you know, and the other thing is like, we've all, you know, like I used to go out like every night practically, like I'll go to this restaurant, these friends, those people, go over their house, you know, whatever, swing from the trees, whatever. And it's like, I never hardly stayed home, but I have really learned to enjoy staying home.
Oh, I always love staying home. So this has been paradise for me. I'm always the one, you know, that t-shirt, like, I'm sorry, I'm late, I didn't want to come. That's me. I love staying home. Now, you do sound very optimistic and energetic, and your fascination with mid-century, it kind of is in line with that, because it was a very, well, style-wise, a very optimistic time. You know, it's all about the space age and modern innovation. Where did that interest come from? Is that something you always had?
Well, on the surface, yes, it was very optimistic for sure. I mean, it's I always surface. Say like space age, mid-century style, not mid-century values. So let's not confuse that. Yeah. I mean, that's become a little bit of a thing lately. Yeah. But, you know, I grew up on a used car lot in Ontario, California. My dad was a used car dealer.
Yeah.
So when I was about, you know, this high, the tail fins on the like rocket ship styled cars of the late 50s and early 60s were about the height of me. And I was like, you know, I think I'm feeling something from this crazy style of this comic book styling on this car. And I love it. So it just kind of stayed with me. And then for whatever strange odd reason, watching the Sonny and Cher show, which was a huge treat in the early 70s when I was a kid, I thought, I want to be a designer. That's it. Want to be a fashion designer. So, and then I started getting into architecture and just kind of furniture design. I started thrift shopping at the age of 14, which I kind of just instinctively knew when I started thrift shopping that this was an education in style and design and a great way for me to study the underbelly of our mass consumerism culture, which I did. So I really love the style and design of that era, but it's not just that era. I'm also a child of Disneyland, having grown up in Southern California. So themed environments speak to me, you know, and I get going from one, like if you go to someone's house and they have like a, you know, their tiki bar, and then you go into their, you know, living room and it's like Western ranch. You're like, this feels totally natural to me.
Yeah.
So I like hyper style. That's one of the reasons I love Palm Springs so much. You mentioned Palm Springs, Alex. Yeah, I know Palm Springs.
I love it there. I love it. I love Palm Springs. Do you have that store? Is that store your store?
What the store? Palm
there's that Palm Springs retro store.
I know exactly the one you're talking about. No, right? That's not Charles.
There's a bunch of them.
That's not Charles, but yeah.
No, I don't have a store in Palm Springs. No, I'm not a retailer.
I love Palm Springs. Charles, I'm so happy there.
Yeah, I love hearing about all the ways that you were able to frame everything, like during this entire year, how you were able to, you know, find ways of reinventing yourself, you know, enjoy the vacuuming and cleaning off the spaghetti sauce on your dishes and be able to really find like the positive stuff. And to be honest with you, there's a part of me that feels like a little bit of like shame hearing about it. Like, what the fuck am I doing wrong? You know,
like what? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, just like a little bit of like, it just sounds like you were like, grab the bull by the horns. I feel great. This is how I'm going to think about things. I'm going to dive into creativity. And all of that does sound very like appealing. And it sounds like it's been really helpful.
Don't worry. I have woken up a few nights at 4 o'clock in the morning going like, you know, what if I use all my savings? What if I use, you know, what if I use all that up? I mean, yeah, my income has taken a drastic hit, but it's like, okay, I'm fortunate enough not to be like on the street.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm creative. I'll figure this out, but I'm embracing the challenge.
Yeah.
And I'm also not really grieving over, you know, kind of the way that we're all going to evolve. I mean, you know, nothing ever stays the same. So yeah, we got kind of a big boom hit of everything's going to evolve a little bit, or many things are going to evolve, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like the universe's way of saying like, okay,
yeah,
hold on, everybody. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to make a few changes here. Because, you know, I mean, as I said, my life as it was going, I mean, I thought I was completely happy and satisfied and everything was going fine. At the same time, I told you that in my creative life, I was like kind of going around the merry-go-round and doing the same kind of creative thing. But now I get the chance to reinvent. That was thrilling to me as a creative person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's nobody that's living on this planet that isn't creative, no matter what. If it's even just making macaroni and cheese for dinner, that's creative.
Yeah, probably.
You know, so it's like kind of gives us the opportunity to kind of rethink the way we do and kind of, you know, you guys said it in the beginning, kind of reassess our values. I mean, what's important? What's important to us?
Yeah.
You know, so I think we've all kind of gotten a little bit of a wake up call to kind of really figure that out. And I think it's, you know, ultimately, are we in the middle of the storm still? Yes. But ultimately, is it going to be, are we going to come out on the other side kind of a little more figured out?
Yeah.
I certainly hope so. I mean, I'm going to come out evolved. No matter what.
Definitely. And
I'm crossing over to a new reality. I'm serious.
Door of outside. I kind of believe the same thing. And I do operate from a very similar perspective around how to think about things in positive terms. You know, I think about pain and discomfort as, you know, a reflection of growth that's happening and all of these opportunities that are here. And so I've been diving into that. And a thing that I remember, a thing that was kind of cycling through a lot of, at least like a lot of like social media, like shared posts and things, was this concept of like toxic positivity. And that caught my eye because I am so overwhelmingly invested into positive perspectives. And so I'm just like, oh shit, what's everybody talking about? And the way that toxic positivity has continued to be described over and over again, that seems to be resonating with a lot of people, is this concept of, you know, all this positive thinking and this is all good and everything's going to be okay and we're going to grow, to the detriment of acknowledging our emotional experience at the same time.
Okay.
And so that's been something that, you know, kind of clicked with me because I was paying attention because I'm trying to find my own balance with, I don't want to snuff my emotion, but I do want to really dive and keep diving into the positive perspective. So how have you found that balance for yourself?
Well, those of us who are kind of hardwired to be optimistic, it's a lot easier to kind of see things in that. I don't like to use the word toxic because for me, it's survival.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think I kind of hardwired myself as a child to look at the positive side of things for survival.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still the same thing for me. I mean, I have, you know, been a little depressed a couple of times, a few times. It usually happens early in the morning, like around, you know, 4, 5, 6 when I wake up. Mornings can be the toughest. But, you know, I just kind of set a little goal. It's like, today I'm going to do X, whatever X is, like paint a painting or just do a project around the house or clean out the closet, which, you know, okay, I'm not going to get rid of this shirt. I haven't worn it in 15 years, but it's so cute. No. Okay. It's going back in the closet. No. Give it away. Give it away. I mean, trying to evolve and push forward. I mean, little projects every day, little goals. I mean, that's how I started, little goals around the house.
Yeah.
And little goals around the house kind of, you know, boosted up.
And little goals are doable. You're not setting yourself up for failure. I think.
Yeah. And you know, it's even better if you call them goalettes, because it's more fun to say the word goalette. than goal. Like when I walk in the morning, I've also started walking. And I'm like, kind of like, okay, I mean, I'm not a sporty person, so I don't play sports or whatever. The only thing I can do well is roller skate, but I don't roller skate much. But I've started walking around the neighborhood and just looking at the architecture of the houses and the flowers and the trees and just like, you know, walk. And I've realized in walking, I've learned how to walk. And I've never learned how to walk in my life before. And the way to learn how to walk is not to focus on, like, I'm so bored walking because I don't like walking because walking is boring. No, look around you. Mm-hmm. There's beauty everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's right around the block. I mean, next door, that tree, those leaves are stunning. You know, and that weird blossom on that plant. I've never seen that before. Ah, you know, what kind of that looks prehistoric. Oh, how interesting.
I have a little dinosaurs.
You know, it's like, don't focus on the walking. Think about your surroundings. Focus on things around you. Little things right in your neighborhood. So walking has been a huge thing for me. I have learned to walk. I've even learned to walk up like in LA where there's a lot of hills. Mm-hmm. So now I'm just walking up hills and I've trained myself. I've disciplined my brain to actually not focus on like, oh, I'm so out of breath. No. I focus on, I think about something. I distract myself by thinking about, you know, I don't know, the history of Nilla wafers or something while I'm walking up the... Sorry, I don't know why.
I think I saw the Ken Burns documentary on that. But.
Thank you. Exactly. I just think about different things. So, I mean, instead of focusing on myself when I'm walking, I'm focusing on the beauty of the world.
Are there Nilla wafers in Chirpumples?
No, there's not. The Chirpumple is my pie stuffed cake. Cherry, pumpkin, and apple. Those are the three pies baked into
cherry,
the three layers.
Cherry, pumpkin, apple. Is
that like a sweet take on the turducken?
Basically, yes, totally.
Gotcha. Walk us through the assemblage of the Chirpumple.
How to make a Chirpumple, it takes 3 days. Basically what you do is you have to get frozen pies. You get a cherry, apple, and a pumpkin, and you bake those. You let them set overnight and kind of firm up. And then you put, the next day, you get your three batters, your spice, your white, your yellow. And you put a little bit of batter in the, about a half inch of batter in the bottom of the cake pan. You detin your pie very carefully. So try not to break it. It's, you know, you can do it. Mm-hmm. And then you put it in there, you kind of smash it down, put a little more batter on top, you bake it and then let it sit overnight. Well, take it out of the pan after it kind of firms up a little, let it sit overnight, put it in the refrigerator. And then you stack and frost with cream cheese frosting. That is the Chirpumple. Cherry pumpkin, apple, three pies stuffed into three layers of cake. Wow. And when you serve your Chirpumple, you gather everyone around, and if your Chirpumple has begun to fall, fail, or hemorrhage in any way, if cherry pie
filling... That's the title of Alex's memoir.
Yes, my hemorrhaging Chirpumple.
Exactly. No, you celebrate the fact that it's performing for you. So, and you gather everyone around, and you get a knife, hold it up like this, and you wave it in the air, and you tell people what it is, you explain it, and then you go right in it and you cut it, not to hack it up, but try to be, but it's, we're no longer cutting cakes like our grandmothers, all poised and proper and dignified.
Yeah.
Out.
No.
No, cutting a cake means waving a knife in the air and shouting and then like right into the cake. And then you serve it. People will run away screaming. They will. But then they'll come back and they'll eat it up. It's fun. I mean, so what I'm trying to say is you make a moment out of it. You make a memory out of it. You turn it into an event.
Yeah.
That's why cake was invented in the first place, is to be a moment. I mean, it's no longer just saying, oh, hell, here's a piece of cake. No. Gather round, everybody. You know, it's like turn it into a moment.
I think what I keep hearing from you and all the things that you're talking about, of just kind of like how you approach life, and then especially really getting to use that this year, is just total mindfulness and just being present in the moment, being able to put positive spins on, but just really, really being present for every single little thing and whatever joy it is that you can take from the moment and having that be your focus. And that's really been effective for you.
Yeah. I mean, being a visual kind of a person, you know, focusing on, you know, finding whatever's beautiful around you, wherever you are, you know, where is the beauty here? So, you know, okay, I'll admit it. I'm kind of disciplined my brain to think that way. And it, you know, it was a little bit of a process. I mean, I was kind of naturally hardwired that way, but then I kind of developed that process of finding the beauty wherever I am and pointing it out to people. And it's like, that's what I do, basically. I mean, my shtick on stage revolves around like mid-century life and style, because it's easy to do the mid-century stuff because everything's like colorful and cars have big fins and houses have roof lines that go like that. Right. And the washing machine is called a speed queen. You know, I mean, it's a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah.
And you can really have fun with it.
It's cheerful.
Right. It's cheerful. Yeah. Exactly. Exactamundo. Yes.
It's cheerful.
So that's the thing. And, you know, people respond to enthusiasm. And, you know, I'll never forget when I first started doing my shows in Hollywood, like, you know, a long time ago, some lady came up to me after the show and she said, you know, we love the stuff you're talking about. We love it. Mm-hmm. But what we love more than that is your enthusiasm for it. Mm-hmm. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. I never forgot that because, you know, enthusiasm is a very valuable commodity. And it just, you know, it just is. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, speaking of how people are coping and how I'm coping, how you're coping, how everyone else is coping. I mean, I have several friends that I've had to talk off the ledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's a reality. I mean, some people, this has hit a lot harder than others. Am I practicing social distance? I mean, the best I can within reason, yes. You know, I mean, it's like, I think I'm being very responsible. I think people in Los Angeles in general, at least in the arenas that I'm experiencing, which isn't a ton because I haven't been doing my usual of going like, you know, to that side of town, that part of town, downtown, uptown, side town.
Right.
I mean, I've hardly gone anywhere, really. I mean, I've gone a few places and I see people, but not that much. And it's all outside. So, but my point was what I forgot. Drive-in movie theaters. Oh. You can go to the drive-in. Wait, am I saying too much? Am I talking too much?
No, good.
We're fine. Oh,
okay. I wanted to say you can do things too. You can go like drive-through culture has never been more appreciated. So I'm not talking about any drive-through. I'm talking about classic drive-throughs. If you want to go to the absolute ultimate drive-through experience in the known universe, there is a donut shop in La Puente, Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
La Puente.
Mm-hmm.
Where you drive through the donut.
Yeah.
Your car drives through the donut to get a donut.
Well, there you go. Right through the donut.
Go do that.
Yes.
Go do that. It's a destination. It's near the original In-N-Out Burger. Go drive through the original In-N-Out Burger. And if you're going to be home, the other thing you can do is you can binge watch all. I mean, you can learn about classic Hollywood films that you think you should have seen or you should have seen.
I've been
watch
doing that.
Everyone's watching like Hello Dolly and On a Clear Day You Can See Forever. Yeah. We've never appreciated Barbara Streisand's, like, you know, brilliance more. What's Up, Doc is a great comedy.
I just talked about that movie last night to my boyfriend.
It's hysterical.
It's so good. Charles, we would be amiss if we did not talk about your book, Holiday Jubilee, your new coffee table book. And there it is, as colorful and cheerful as can be. You know what? I love all those horrifying old like ads from the Ladies Home Journal from the 50s, where it's like tuna in a jello mold or something. It's like there was an era in America where they were like, everybody wanted to put fish in a jello mold.
Well, jello is a funny thing. People run away screaming from jello now, at least in Southern California. Other parts of the United States, I think they still eat it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, jello, people here got freaked out because they all realized collectively as a society, it's made from horses' hooves. And, well, I guess we shouldn't say that because it might not be made. No, it's made from parts.
Yes.
Parts unknown, parts, parts undesirable.
Yeah.
Not horses, cows, and probably pigs. So
they do have vegan gelatin now, by the way, just so everybody.
They do have vegan gelatin.
I mean, that was the whole thing with
ruins everything.
They made those gelatins out of meats and offal and et cetera and so forth. So why do you think that fascination happened in the 50s of putting everything into a jello?
Well, like everything else, jello is a very colorful product, and everything in the mid-century era is like color pumped and like, you know, kind of like cartoon styled. So that's that, you know, that helped. I mean, I personally, you know, I wouldn't mind having some jello, especially if it has like Cool Whip in it.
I love jello and Cool Whip, or jello with fruit cocktail in it. What kind of recipes are in the Holiday Jubilee?
Well, I do have a jello recipe in there. It's actually not really edible because it's a jello Christmas tree made in a traffic cone mold. I used a traffic cone as the mold, a clean new traffic cone, and I put lights in it. So you plug it in and hope not to get electrocuted. So yeah, it's like you get to see how jello conducts light from within. It's wonderful. But there's all kinds of recipes. The chirpumpla is in there. I do a fried cereal, which is delicious. It's like Chex Mix, only using cereals. all the puff cereals, like Fruit Loops and like Sugar Pops and Apple Jacks.
How do you serve fried cereal?
Well, it's absolutely divine, believe me. What you do is you melt salted butter in a pan. I'm looking for the recipe.
You had me at salted butter.
Yeah, no, it's so good. Seriously, it's really, really good. It's
do you serve it like Chex Mix? Like
totally. Yeah. Well, now you have to serve it individually. But yeah, you can use Apple Jacks, Captain Crunch, Fruit Loops, Trix, Honeycombs, Corn Pops, and Lucky Charms. Take the Mar bits, those are the little marshmallow things out of the Lucky Charms. Take those out first and then put them on top later. But anyway, you basically just melt the butter and stir the cereal around until it just is all coated. Mm. And for some strange odd reason, when you saute the puff cereals, the classic puff cereals, as I mentioned, like, you know, Captain Crunch is one of them, and Fruit Loops. I mean, when you put them together all together and they're salted buttered, I mean, somehow the butter,
savory.
It's delicious. Mm. It's like when you eat cereal with whole milk, only it's better. It's like cream. It's the best thing you've ever had. It's absolutely delicious. So that's one recipe in there. I mean, there's a Halloween meatloaf of rat is in here. Ooh. A tiki turkey Thanksgiving dinner where I made all the dishes like tiki eyes, exotic. There's a lot in this book. It's a really, really fun book. So
I love
Holiday butter. Jubilee.
When we were kids and we'd bake Rice Krispie treats with the marshmallows and the
butter. And it all melts and comes together.
That's a magical moment. There's nothing better than Rice Krispies. Thank you, Rice Krispies.
Wow. There's just so much. I'm pumped up with your enthusiasm. Because my thing is always about keeping the balance. I don't think being enthusiastic and optimistic and acknowledging where you're at are mutually exclusive.
Right.
Do you know, I think what Matthew, when you're talking about the toxic positivity, as it were, it's kind of like acknowledging where you're at and the feelings and what's actually going on. Mm-hmm. While you're talking yourself to a better place, the acknowledgement of your feelings, or, you know, however small or big, is an essential ingredient. Because I've been in full on optimistic mode at the expense of not acknowledging any sadness or grief at all, and then, you know, it just leaks out of me at some point.
I don't want to be unrealistic about it, but, you know, it was a little process. I mean, we've been in this for a while now, so we've had a while to digest it. So the way we're thinking about this and us now is, for me at least, different than it was 3 months ago, different than it was 6 months ago. It really is. I mean, I've had to kind of like, you know, look around and go like, okay, what am I going to do now? You know, has there been some fear? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like, I have disciplined myself to think of, you know, to realize many things about life in general. Like around 6 years ago, for example, I woke up one day and I went, oh, I get it. Life isn't a fairy tale. Oh, why did it take so long for that to occur to me? You know, it's like, I thought life was a fairy tale for a long time. And then I thought, what an idiot I was, you know? So it's like, you know, it's like, I've disciplined myself to kind of think about things in certain ways. So yes, it has been a process to get to this point, but at this point in this pandemic, I am, you know, I'm kind of put the puzzle pieces together in such a way that I've built a new house, if you will, a new house of my own thinking. I mean, I've had to rearrange everything. So it's taken a while, but we're not talking about this pandemic situation 6 months ago. We're talking about it 6, 7 or whatever months it is in. Mm-hmm. So my thought process is very different now. I mean, it's taken me a while to kind of build up, you know, the areas of like, put that, you know, put all the thought process there, you know, figure it out, figure my new reality out. And I still haven't figured it out. But what I've figured out is that I can figure it out.
Yeah, I think,
you know, that I can go forward.
And I would say, as somebody who I know that you're, you know, saying that you self-identify as this, you know, hardwired for being optimistic, as somebody who I would say is a little bit more towards the end of the kind of emotional end of the spectrum on things, that I'm so much more of a feeler and always have been a feeler. And it's been a challenge for me through life to be able to develop more of my ability to think through things and to add that other layer of, you know, kind of optimistic perspective and all of that. For me to be able to develop that, I've been able to arrive at a place where I've been overwhelmingly optimistic and have been able to really do all the self-care things like meditation and gratitude journals and affirmations and be vulnerable with other people and put a positive spin on everything. And also still at times, again, just for me, where I've been struggling with emotion too. And being able to recognize that for me, a positive framing on things means that I can understand, you know, kind of a way of looking at things in a really optimistic way. And also still being able to find that balance again for myself to know that it's okay to struggle with that. And especially I think for people like me who really do feel things very deeply, the way that I've been able to positively frame that is that's just the cost of admission for being an empath of this world. That's the cost of admission for being able to connect with other people in incredibly deep and meaningful ways.
You don't have to stop giving a shit, Matthew. You have to stop caring about people. What a damn for you. All of this for that.
I love
what
it.
What I love, Charles, what you said was like, you figured out that you can figure it out.
Right.
That is a very
exactly.
Because then it's not about a static destination. We're always in the process of trying to figure things out. And like when you said that life is a fairy tale, life wasn't a fairy tale. I mean, that was my rude awakening in my 20s that, oh my gosh, bad things happen. Bad things happen to good people. And you have to find some way to recover and grieve and move on and acknowledge. And it's just a continuing process of growth as long as we're alive on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love traditions. I do, like, you know, family traditions and different mm-hmm. things like that. And it's important, I think. Traditions are very important. But it's also important to invent new ones and to evolve. I mean, the most satisfying moments of my life is when I learn something new or have a new experience. I mean, if we are, and you can have that new experience like around the corner from your house, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not talking about in the alley either, by the way.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just saying we've got to move forward.
Yes,
absolutely. I agree. Charles Phoenix, where can people find you on the social media?
Well, I'm on Instagram _ Charles Phoenix. If you search Charles Phoenix on Facebook, I'm there. On YouTube, you can search Charles Phoenix Joyride and CharlesPhoenix.com.
And your book is now available wherever fine books are sold.
I don't know about that because fine books are hardly sold anywhere except for Amazon and my website, CharlesPhoenix.com.
Holiday Jubilee. It's such a beautiful looking book. I want it. It's absolutely cheerful. Thank you for all your enthusiasm today. And
we ask
our guests to end with a hot message of the day on the Hot Mess podcast. Can you pass on any message of your enthusiasm or your positive energy to our listeners today?
Yes, I can. I just want to say, like, embrace the ability that you have to move forward, to reinvent, rethink, reboot, redo, restore. Look around your world. Look around just the room you're in. And if you want to just rearrange things or whatever, do it. I mean, it's time to rearrange our lives. It's time to reflect and really figure out what's important to us and to find the beauty around us everywhere we go and share it. Point it out to people.
Thank you, Charles.
Thank you, Charles.
So much for being on the show.
Thank you, guys.
There are over 90,000 people missing at any time, and over 500,000 are reported missing every year. And that's just in the United States. I'm Mike Morford.
And I'm Jess Betancourt. And in our podcast, Missing Persons, we discuss cases of people who have gone missing under mysterious circumstances. And we're joined in each episode by guests who are either related to the missing person, investigating their disappearance, or advocating for answers in the case.
Missing Persons is available everywhere you listen to podcasts, and there are dozens of episodes to binge on right now. Subscribe today so you don't miss an episode.
Wow, Matthew! Enthusiasm.
Yes, I love enthusiasm.
Yeah, I do too. He had more energy than I have today.
Yes.
He made me want to make an effort.
He made me want to make a Jell-O Christmas tree with lights in it. That actually does sound appealing to me.
A chirpumple. What's your hot message of the day?
I think my hot message of the day is it's okay to not be okay. That if we're struggling with maybe kind of, you know, more challenging emotions, that's okay. That doesn't mean that you're not being positive. It just might mean that you're, you know, more of a deeper feeler of the world and put a positive spin on things. Yeah, and it doesn't last forever. Ride that wave.
Yeah. I'm a feeler too. I have feelings. I have a lot of feelings on things. And I think it's really just about finding balance.
Yes.
I have to remind myself also that feelings aren't facts.
Right. Yes.
Just because you feel one day this sense of sadness or whatever you're feeling or hopelessness or whatever you're going through right now, it's not going to be forever. Mm-hmm. So take a tip for our dialectical behavioral therapy and ride the wave. If you feel mad about something, let yourself feel mad. If you feel sad about something, it's all valid. It's all part and parcel of the human experience.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Where can we find you on your social
media? You can find me at MJ Dempsey Psych on Instagram and Twitter, and Matthew J. Dempsey Psychotherapy on Facebook.
You can find me at Alec Mappa on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can find us both at The Hot Mess Pod on Twitter and Instagram. We love hearing from
yes.
you. We've already done a program where we answered questions from all of you. We love hearing from you. Don't forget to download and subscribe. This is a podcast that we really enjoy doing and talking about our feelings for different people. And we love saving the world one hot mess at a time.
That's right.
Tune in next week and we'll have more fun. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. This podcast has been produced by Stage 29 Productions for entertainment purposes only. The contents of this podcast does not constitute medical or professional advice, do not reflect the opinions of this company, any of its parent companies, affiliates, subsidiaries, promotional sponsors, or advertising agencies. The views expressed by the hosts and guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. For more information, please go to stage29.tv.